attendance upon the board for all needed help. I will venture to draw your careful attention to the Acts, chapter 17, verse 3. The Acts, chapter 17, verse 3. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. The Lord had done great things for the apostle. The Lord had done great things in the apostle, and this dear man desired, by the grace of God, with a measured determination, to know nothing among men save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. He desired by the grace of God to preach Christ, to tell the sinners what Christ had done for him, how that he was indeed a brand but from the burning. And not only did he desire this, but he desired more and more in his own soul an ever deeper knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And a knowledge of Christ and a sense of his presence caused the apostle to count all things but done that I may win Christ and be found in him. He was made willing to part with all and follow Jesus. And his great concern was to proclaim to poor sinners, to preach Christ to sinners. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And here, as his manner was, he went in unto them, and for 3 days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And who can plumb the depth and the meaning of these words, must needs have suffered? Oh, here, my friend, is made manifest God's eternal purpose of love to his dear people, chosen in him before the world was. The love that the prophet speaks of, yea, I am, the Lord hath appeared unto me of old, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. But it says here that Christ must needs have suffered. Oh, we are reminded again and again, that not all the blood on Jewish, of Jewish or of these on Jewish altars slain can give the guilty conscience peace or wash away their stain. We are reminded of the terribleness of sin. What an awful thing it is. We are reminded in such a word as this of the holiness of God, and that God can by no means that would in any way lessen his holiness us by the transgression of poor sinners, but that a way must be made. There must be a sacrifice. There must be for the pardon of sin blood shed. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission of sin. My friend, a full satisfaction must be made to the Holy Father for the sins of all his dear people. Oh, and when you consider the enormity of sin, the depth of sin, the dark stains of sin, oh, from whence is this blood to be found? Oh, where from where is this sacrifice to come? Oh, my poor sinner, may the Holy Spirit open your eyes and lead you to Calvary, to see there the sacrifice appointed. Who is this that hangs upon a tree? Who is this that is numbered among the transgressors? Who is this that is crowned with thorns, despised, spat upon? To whom is this word said? He saved others, himself he cannot save. It is none other than the holy, harmless Son of God, undefiled. Oh, consider, poor sinner, who it is that dies upon this cross, numbered among the transgressors. He who it is that pours out his soul unto death, and such a cruel death he died. He was hung up and crucified, and those kind hands that did such good, the hymn says they, the people of God under conviction of sin will say, we nailed them to a cross of wood. Another said, the soldier pierced his side, 'tis true, but we have pierced him through and through. But oh, now to get a little more into this world, that Christ must needs have suffered. I say there was no one else to pay this price. Not the cattle upon a thousand hills, not all the gold, not all the silver, could in any way redeem poor sinners from the curse of the Lord, or make that payment. And I say, oh, behold the glorious plan, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, says the eternal Son of God, but a body hast thou prepared for me. Oh, as man he suffered, as the Son of God he forgave, and my friend, as the Son of God, as Christ the anointed one, the Messiah, behold the authority of the heavenly blessed power in that precious blood. Is none other than the eternal Son of God in those purposes of His grace to come into this world, not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. The Word of God proclaims in olden days of this glorious plan, of that necessity, final necessity, of the sufferings of Christ. All right through the Scriptures, we have this, as we have read, that the Lord said to those two in the Scriptures and the disciples, of those things concerning himself. In time and in shadow there was appointing forth. Oh, I say, when you consider it, on that night in Egypt, when the blood of that lamb without blemish and spot was sprinkled there upon the doorpost and the lintel of the dwellings of the Israelites, it was but a time, it was but a shadow. That literal blood could by no means cleanse the Israelite from sin. The serpent of brass set high upon the pole again was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, again we are reminded of this little and yet precious, wondrous word, must. As you will find recorded the saying of Jesus, for as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, my friends, behold the purpose, because it is made known in the coming of the Lord to this earth, in his willingness, in that willing obedience to his Father. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will. And I say, as you consider this, there was that, my friend, set before the Lord. What was set before him? Oh, wondrous word! How little we know of it, and yet desire to enter into it, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. A cross was set before him, that a crown might be set before his people. A cross was set before him, that a door of mercy might be opened to the people of God, to poor sinners. Then I say, a cross was set before him, a death upon that cross, that the door might be opened in heaven, and those mansions prepared in glory. And oh, how the Lord, as he was here on earth, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. He came and he did his Father's will. Wished ye not, he said, as a boy, that I must speak about his Father's business. Step by step, arise, let us go hence, concludes the 14th chapter of John. O poor sinner, pause a moment, pass not over the word thoughtlessly or too quickly. It says, arise, let us ask their heads, and consider as you may be enabled what against there was. It was a going forth into the place of suffering. Constantly did the Lord speak of his sufferings. His disciples could not understand. Oh, that my friend, behold the time appointed, as he gathers together in that upper room those his dear disciples. We read in the scripture that the Lord, having loved his own, he loved them to the end. And I've often found, and may we find it another touch, another taste of it now, a sweet blessing in those opening words, let not your heart be troubled. Oh, think what the Savior was about to endure the poor sinners. Think of my face, that ignominious death. He knew what was before him. And I say he himself knew what he was about to do. But he said, oh, let not your heart be troubled. His heart was troubled. He said, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I to this hour. Here again is revealed a little of that purpose, a little of this must needs have suffered. Oh, that the scriptures might be fulfilled is on the record of the gospel concerning the death of Christ. And my friend, oh, consider this in the eternal purposes of God. The apostle speaking on the day of Pentecost said this, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him, none other, him, have been delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, the sacrifice appointed. I say, for Isaac there was relief. There was a substitute. There was a voice from the heaven that stayed the angel's hand, stayed the patriarch's hand, the voice of the angel. There was a ram called there by his Lord horse in a thicket, and the dear patriarch offered him up instead of his son. But there was none. There was no escape, there was no passing by, none other to stand in the place of the Son of God. And there, my friend, upon that cross, he endured all the hell that his people should endure. The wrath of God, a full atonement, was there made for sin. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye. Oh, how it is charged upon them. Is it charged upon you, poor sinner? I say, do you look upon the sufferings of Christ and say, oh, it was the Jew, it was the Roman soldier that pierced his side? Oh, I say, have you been led with weeping to the foot of the cross? Have you been brought there in repentance before him, your soul melted, your heart dissolved, as it were, with a sign of Christ, bearing away your sin upon that cross, and there to see it was my sin, my burden that he did bear, and there put away my sin upon that cross? Ye have taken, and by wicked hands, and have crucified and slain. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. There could be no gospel but that for this. And I say, remove the cross and the suffering. things of the resurrection of Christ, and say there will be no hope for poor sinners. But blessed be God, through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, and say what hope springs up in the heart of poor sinners, and you see as there is that unfolding in the Word of God, and as the eyes are opened and enlightened by the Holy Spirit, and there is a little leading in it, a meditation of this wondrous purpose of God in the gift of His only begotten Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And as there's a beholding of it, there will be rising up in a newborn soul every true believer, an anxious inquiry. Oh, did He come for me? Did He die for me? Did He put away my sins? And the name of Jesus will be very, very precious to a poor, held in serving sinner. One who is charged, as it were, with his sin. One who hears the voice of condemnation. Is there none to pay the price? Is there none that I say that will stand for such a sinner? Is there nothing that can pardon sin? Is there no stream? Is there no fountain to wash away these sins? Ah, the blessed be God, as they be read in the Scriptures. Oh, the glory of it, the wonder of it, the triumph of it. My friends, Calvary was a triumph. It was a victory. It was a glory. Oh, I know the heavens were dark. I know that agonized cry went forth from the Savior. My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There, oh, I wish I could speak of it. I wish we might be made into it. There, my friend, was this world in its fullness, and this world sufferings, the sufferings of Christ. In the hidings of His Father's face, He was there made upon that cross to be sick, and there He endured the holy wrath of His Father. He hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. In Him was no sin. I say He went about doing good, not poor sinner, the sacrifice thus appointed. Behold, a scene of matchless grace. Is Jesus in the sinner's place that Christ must needs have suffered. And there, I say, He endured more than any human tongue could tell. Oh, that we might know more of it. And I believe this, a sense of it will give unto us an ever-increasing hatred to sin. A glimpse by faith of the sufferings of Christ will give unto us an increased hatred of sin and abasement of self. Oh, my friends, it is. There can be no self-glory at the foot of the cross. Pride must go. And I say, you'll come in there to that cross by the Spirit. You'll come as a poor sinner having nothing. And as one has said, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count the loss, and poor condemned on all my pride, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. But I said, the glory of the cross, the victory. victory of the cross, the triumph of it, I say he voluntarily laid down his life. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus says, one saw me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. It is finished. Words of triumph, words of victory. I say, here is the full atonement made. Here is the price paid. And I say, the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. Upon a death I did not die. Upon a life I did not live. Upon a death I did not die. Another's life, another's death, I saved my whole eternity. Oh friend, what means this to you? Is it nothing to you, all ye who pass by, and see if there's any suffering like unto my suffering, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his great anger? And well that might be spoken to the church of God, not only to those that are without. Is it nothing to you? My friend, I say, if we live at the foot of the cross, there would be a profound change in our lives. I'm sure of it. The world will be counted as a despicable thing. It would be put under our feet. And I say we have to lose much and lose all in that sense that is of a bad. I say, when you consider, oh my friend, what Christ has done, and yet, I say, our heart, it is so sinful, so prone to ponder, goes after these forbidden things, and sometimes would eat of the husk that the swine did eat. But oh, my friend, when the Lord grants a little reviving in our poor heart, and leads us to the foot of the cross, and reveals to us the Savior that guides the sinner, and grants to us a sweet evidence in our heart of an interest in it. I say, and when with the arms of faith you're enabled, as it were, to hold him and not let him go, I say, you'll then say, Lord, now, when the time of love comes, Lord, now, lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And I say, you want naught else but to be with him. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs us suffer. But by this, not only suffering, not only death, but resurrection and risen again from the dead. Why, the apostle, as he writes to the church at Corinth, he speaks of this. And declares unto them of the resurrection of the dead, and the vital necessity of it. For he says, if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But my friend, I say the Savior, in that resurrection, in that glory of the empty tomb, the great stone was rolled away, there proclaiming victory and triumph, the Savior comes forth, emerges from that tomb, the glorious victor, the church's representative in heaven, the Lamb in the midst of the throne, as it had been slain, risen again from the dead. It is a living Jesus. He is not here, says the angels. He is risen. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go and tell his disciples and Peter, don't forget a repenting Peter, and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall ye see him, as he said unto you. But my friend, we must come a little closer, and say, what evidence have you in your heart of the resurrection of Christ? Oh, blessed soul that walked a little with Mary Magdalene. Perhaps there have been those seasons, friend, doubtless there have, when I say you mourned an absent God. Oh, and when you wept tears because you knew not where he was to be found. But oh, how near the Lord was to a weeping Mary. And he had but to speak one word. Oh, my friends, and when the Lord comes and visits your soul and calls you by your name and assures you of his love and draws near in his presence and comforts your heart and stays your mind on him and sheds abroad his love in your heart, and then you'll now bear the witness that the Lord is alive, that God is God and can avouch and for his people care, since I have pray to him and such, and he has heard thy prayers, and risen again from the dead. Here is the glorious proof, if I may so put it, of Calvary. Here is the evidence of it. Here is that which is not in heaven. And I say, my friend, here is that upon which poor sinners hang their all for heaven. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. And my friend, I say, you right there. Oh, I say, what comfort this brings, as we have alluded in that resurrection chapter, and then they that are fallen in asleep in Christ are perished. If Christ be not risen from the dead, but I say he is risen. And you see, and so as the head of the church is risen triumphant, so I say his people will rise. There is coming that glorious day, that wondrous resurrection morn, when the dead in Christ shall rise. Because you see, the Savior has conquered, has made in his death upon the cross a full atonement for sin, and in his resurrection has conquered the power of death and of the grave. And then we are reminded again of that word, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Again says the apostle, and I love it, in the 8th of the Romans, as he comes to the conclusion of that chapter, and as he stands, as I love to think of him there, he looks back over the words that have been spoken, the certainty of it. There is therefore now, and mark who it is that says it. It was a man that mourned because of sin. It was a man that cried bitterly because he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But oh, poor sinner, he's unable to look up. I thank God through Jesus Christ. There in the death and resurrection of Christ, he saw the salvation of his soul and the certainty of heaven, and that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then, as he says, we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He starts then to ask the question, one after the other, if God be for us, who then can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him give us, freely give us all things? Who, says the apostle, shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? What can be put against them? Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, that maketh intercession for them. Opening and 17th of John, that sacred hallowed chapter. O friends, the Savior in prayer to his Father, O sacred ground. Father, I will that these also, who are they? Poor sinners, worms of the earth, I say these also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And that this Jesus, sinner, you want anyone else? Is there anyone else that can pardon sin, bring comfort and peace into a troubled heart? Who but this Jesus would have saved his dear people? One there is, above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond the brothers, costly free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness proved, find the everlasting love, and that this Jesus. And it may be in some poor sinner's heart a little hope rising up as you try, and may the Spirit lead you in meditation of these two precious words, is this Jesus. This Jesus that said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Is this Jesus that said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out? Is this Jesus, poor sinner, that when a leper full of leprosy came to him, and he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou dost make me clean? And this Jesus said, I will, be thou clean. And I then, oh, consider, he touched him. If this Jesus, this man, receiveth sinners and eateth with them, if this Jesus, oh, blessed gospel, he could not be hid. Oh, there, a woman from Canaan's coast, the burden upon her heart, his dead daughter, and it is a tremendous load. And I say, he could not be hid. She came where he was, she fell at his feet, and oh, I say, she besought him, and cried for mercy, and brought, as it were, in her petition, her daughter. But I say, it's this Jesus that answered her not a word, and sometimes said, oh, what is this? Can this be the Jesus of the gospel? Friends, it is. He was drawing out of the dear woman that which was in her heart, the very work of his grace. He drew out from her what he himself had put in her heart to draw him to his dear feet. And though all things seemed to go against her, she then could not give up. She could not turn back and walk no more. She had to remain there. She worshipped him and said, Lord, help me. And then the disciples would turn her away, and all things seem to go against her. But oh, this Jesus, I say, as she said to him, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Oh, woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee, even as thou wilt. Is this Jesus that poor ministers of the gospel would desire by the grace of God to proclaim to poor sinners, to preach him? Living tongues are done at best. We must die to speak of Christ. Is this Jesus to whom a poor woman came pressing through the crowd with, if I may, but touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole? And it was this Jesus that brought him to his feet and caused her to come, thou fearing and trembling, and to tell all the people what he had done for her. It was this Jesus that knew the virtue had gone out of him. And that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. You see, we behold him as the Son of Man. Blessed is that in the contemplation of him, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, a man that suffered pain, endured weariness. But I say, consider this, the word says, this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ, the eternal Son of God. Who is this that forgiveth sins? Son, he says, daughter, he says, thy sins which are many are forgiven thee. Who is this that stands and says, peace be still, the raging billow cease, and there is a great calm? Oh, said one as he witnessed the death of Christ, surely this was none other than the Son of God. May you and I be led there. May we be favored as poor sinners there as well. Fain we would rest there beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. Oh, be found more often at his feet, and that, my friends, we may make desire to know him more, to love him more. I say, if the Lord is pleased to grant unto us by his Spirit a felt interest in this, I say, your poor heart will love him, whom having not seen, says the Apostle, ye love. And says Peter, yea, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. And all says one, to think of this, the one we burden gives us pain.